Okay. I'm going to be talking about the fears that occur to white people. And I'm going to concentrate on the book that Teresa mentioned, is the one of Barbara Jensen, The Hidden Racism in the Heart of Whiteness. Basically, in this book, he pinpoints some fears that may occur to this white supremacist society. He mentions that these fears are the reason why many white people are afraid to confront themselves and the system, which basically, you know, is the structure of white privilege. The first and the most crucial fear he explains is the fear of facing the fact that some of what we white people have is unearned. I say we because he, as like Teresa mentioned, he is an author who is white and he wrote this book, so that's why he includes himself in the fears that he fears as well. He explained how it is ordinary that they do not really make it on their own. They always have an advantage of what they achieve. He states, no matter how hard we work or how smart we are, we all know when we are honest with ourselves that we did not get where we are by advantage alone. And many white people are afraid of that fact. A second fear of losing what they have. Literally, the fear of losing things we own if at some point the economic, political, and social system in which we live become more just and equitable. The fear is not completely irrational. If white privilege, along with the other kinds of privilege many of us have, living in the middle class and above, in an imperialist country that dominates much of the rest of the world, were to evaporate, the distribution of resources in the United States and in the world would change, and that would be a good thing. We would have less. That redistribution of wealth would be fairer and more just. But in a world in which people have become used to affluence and material comfort, that possibility can be scary. A third fear he points out is the fear of one day non-white people turning the cards and gaining the power that whites have dominated. He explains this in terms of the constant non-white immigrants. He explains this in the terms of non-white immigrants that keep moving to this country and that somehow may one day become the majority demographically. The main reason they fear of this is because they feel that it would become a system in which white people become the minority and could be treated as whites have long treated non-whites. And a final fear that Robert Jensen implies has probably always haunted white people, but has become more powerful since the society has formally rejected over racism. The fear of being seen and seen through by non-white people. Virtually every white person I know, including white people fighting for racial justice, and including myself, which is Robert Jensen himself, carries some level of racism in our minds and hearts and our bodies. In our heads, we can't pretend to eliminate it, but most of us know it is there. And because we are all supposed to be appropriately anti-racist, we carry that lingering racism with a new kind of fear. What if non-white people look at us and see it? What if they can see it through us? What if they can look past our anti-racist vocabulary and sense that we still don't really know how to treat them as equals? What if they know about us what we don't dare know about ourselves? What if they can see what we can't even voice? So basically, reading this section of his article, it just basically, Robert Jensen himself is a white person, and he basically just explained the fears that what would happen if basically we would just become non-racist, you know, and just live in an equal environment. So he himself, being of this society, explains the fears that he himself fears as well. And as well, doing some research, I found this. Her name is Peggy McIntosh, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, and she basically is also a white person, and as well as Robert Jensen wrote a book about it as well. And let me just read really quick about her. Peggy McIntosh is an associate director of the World Wellesley College, I mean College Center for Research on Women. This essay is excerpted from Working Paper 189, White Privilege and Male Privilege, a personal account of coming to see correspondence through work in the women's studies by Peggy McIntosh. So basically, she also put daily effects of white privilege. This is her speaking. I decided to try to work on myself, at least by identifying some of the daily effects of white privilege in my life. I have chosen those conditions that I think, in my case, attach somewhat more to skin color privilege than to class, religion, ethnic status, or geographic location. Though, of course, all these other factors are intricately intertwined. As far as I can tell, my African-American co-workers, friends, and acquaintances with whom I come into daily or frequent contact in this particular time, place, and time of work cannot count on most of these conditions. So I'm going to pass out really quick. It's just basically she lives some stuff that she comes into contact as well because of her, of course, you know, being white. And then other than that, I'm going to pass this out and then I'm going to turn it over to Tiffany.